Welcome to the CC Broadcast, a part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday, our radio preacher, Pastor Tim Butker, delivered his Easter message here on the CC Broadcast. He also delivered an Easter message entitled Reactions to the Resurrection to a live congregation Easter Sunday, and would like to share that message with you here today.
It really is good to have you with us this morning, this Easter Sunday morning, and just a happy Easter for me. It's a day of celebration in Christendom. People are celebrating all around the world, not only the power of the cross, but then the power that God displayed in the resurrection of Jesus at the empty tomb. And so we are here celebrating. We've been celebrating all week, actually, around here. We were celebrating at the beginning, last of Holy Week, last Sunday, when we celebrated Palm Sunday. We celebrated Jesus riding on a donkey, humbly and gently. The King came to them. The King comes to us humbly and gently in his love for us. And they were praising and worshiping him in Jerusalem at that time. And we had a day of praise. They call it Hosanna Sunday, Palm Sunday, the Sunday of the victory of our King riding in. But the celebration didn't go on all that long in that way, because soon hearts turned against Jesus. He stirred up and agitated the whole city, went into the temple, which he called his home, and he rearranged the furniture a little bit in his home, and it stirred up the religious leaders of his day. And by the end of the week, they were plotting to kill him all week, and by the end of the week, they would accomplish that. We celebrated on Maundy Thursday the fact that Jesus gathered his disciples together on that last Thursday night before his crucifixion, knowing that he was going to be crucified, and he instituted for us the gift of communion and remembrance of the celebration of his body broken for us and his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. And then, of course, he was arrested after that, given a faulty trial, and then crucified on Good Friday. And that is the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf for the forgiveness of sins, worthy celebrating. It's probably more appropriately called Black Friday than what our world calls Black Friday, but we call it Good Friday because of the goodness the cross accomplished for us. And then now we're on Sunday morning with the empty tomb. And we are so glad to be celebrating with you. There is great joy in our hearts as we celebrate this. Now, I'll say this. It is hard for me as a preacher sometimes to go through the details of such things when I am just so enthused by the power of God. But that's me at this point in my life. There are many people in the world who do not have this kind of reaction to the resurrection. As a matter of fact, that first Easter Sunday morning, there wasn't such a great celebration. We read the details to the children on the first day of the week at early dawn. They, Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the others went with them to the tomb. And they had these spices prepared to anoint the body of Jesus who had been laid in a tomb. And of course, on the Sabbath, the day before, they celebrated the Jewish Sabbath on Saturday. They didn't do this work, so they waited till Sunday morning. Jesus was there Friday night, Saturday. This was the third day, and they got there, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. I don't know if you've showed up somewhere before and it was different than what you expected it to be, but that was very true for these ladies. They knew that the religious leaders had asked the Roman government to post guards outside of the tomb, and they did. They posted guards outside of the tomb, and they put a seal on the tomb, so there was no wondering of whether Jesus would be there. Rome was guarding the tomb so nothing would happen to the body of Jesus, because Jesus had stirred up the city so much, they finally felt like they had him at rest. But when the ladies arrived there that morning, the stone was rolled away from the tomb, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And the text says they did not celebrate. They were confused. They were confused. I don't know if you ever find yourself confused in life, but I sure do. I've been confused a lot of times, especially about my spirituality and my faith journey. I've been confused by many circumstances I've entered in life. I remember the first time I went in the fifth grade to a Catholic Mass. I'd never been to a Catholic Mass. Not one that I paid attention to, or maybe I did when I was an infant. But I remember sitting in that Catholic Mass, and I was perplexed, you might say. I didn't know when to stand and when to sit and when to kneel. I didn't know what the things meant up front there. And the friend who invited me, my buddy in the fifth grade, when they passed the communion around and it came by me and I took that wafer, he whispered to me, "Tim, don't chew it." I said, "Why not just let it dissolve?" He said, "Because that's the body of the Lord Jesus." And so not only was I confused here, I was a little bit nervous. I don't know how you came in here this morning. I remember the first time I walked into a Pentecostal church. I was confused when people started speaking in other tongues and the Spirit seemingly was moving in the people and people were standing and praising God and doing these kind of things. I was confused. And maybe this morning you came in here and you haven't been in church for a long time. And this is a little perplexing to you, what's happening here, the traditions we have here at Nazareth and what we celebrate here. And I want to say to you, if you're confused in some way, you're in good company. Because even those closest to Jesus on Easter Sunday morning, the ladies that knew him best, even his own mother was perplexed and confused. And I would guess that the idea of Jesus being resurrected was not even in their minds, even though Jesus had mentioned it to them. But to think about a resurrection is to think about something that's outside of the norm for us. It's outside of the box of normal human experience. The box that most of us live in is made up of our what we were raised and the details we were raised with, the education we currently have, and the experiences we've had in life. And very few of us have seen someone lay in a grave for 3 days and then come back to life and talk to us. So I'm thinking the resurrection was likely not on their minds. They were just confused about what had happened. But I'm thankful that God sometimes comes to us in our confusion and clears things up for us. I've had this experience numerous times in my life when I brought my confusion before the Lord, and over time he's brought me some sense of understanding. And that's what he did for these ladies. He loves us even in our confusion. Behold, the text says, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. These are messengers from God. God in his grace sent two messengers from them. The Bible is the story of the unseen and the seen and how they sometimes collaborate together, or sometimes the unseen breaks through to the seen, the creator breaks through to the created. And God, what he did here was he sent two angelic beings, messengers from the throne of heaven. And he sent them to these ladies who were confused. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, and they brought clarity, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again." And then they remembered his words. So they got some clarity in their confusion, and then they went back to the other disciples. It says they went to the 11. Now Judas had already killed himself in his shame and his guilt and his remorse over betraying Jesus. So there were only 11 disciples at this point and all the other believers that were around him at that time. And the ladies told these things to those who were with Jesus when he was alive. And it says they reacted differently. They weren't confused. These words seemed to them like an idle tale or like nonsense. And they did not believe them. They did not believe them. So we don't have celebration at the first Easter. We have confusion, perplexity. We have a little fear. Then we have some cynicism the first Easter Sunday morning. We have a sense of sophisticated mockery or maybe a little lighter skepticism about what the ladies were saying. I have a picture of that gentleman there being a little skeptical. I doubt they had glasses at that time, but I picture a few of the disciples, if they did have glasses, just lowering their glasses to their nose and saying, "Now what? You're saying what? Two dazzling men appeared to you at this tomb that was empty and they, oh, gotcha." Sophisticated mockery, skepticism, confusion. If you've been one who's mocked Jesus before, or the power of God in the world, hey, you're in good company. The very disciples who were with Jesus seemed like this was an idle tale or a mockery, and they did not believe it. Skepticism abounds in the world today about the power of the supernatural. It's all around us, especially in the Western world, where science is what we worship. This was not scientifically proven. But friends, this is something we have to wrestle with in human history. The evidence is very clear. But if you're confused or you're cynical, or you have a little mockery of the things of God, hey, you're right there with the early followers of Jesus. You're in good company. But there was other reactions. Peter rose and ran to the tomb. He was one of the 11. He rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and when he went home, he was marveling at what had happened. He was marveling. Here's another reaction. Curiosity, investigation, a wonder and a marvel at what really was true. Similar to being perplexed, but Peter went farther. He was pursuing the truth. And boy, this is needed in our world today, for people to go after what is really true, to seek after what really happened then. Peter was curious. If you're here today and you're curious, hey, you're in great company. This man would be sort of the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and his curiosity was a God-given curiosity. God puts curiosity in our hearts to pursue out the truth. There's a lot of narratives. There's a lot of stories in the world. Many of them aren't true. We do well to figure out what is true for ourselves, to pursue after it, to ask God to help us discern it. There's still other reactions. The Bible speaks of the guards who were there to guard the tomb that Sunday morning, commissioned by the Roman soldiers, watching over them for the chief priests who didn't want anything more to do with Jesus because they were threatened by him. Matthew tells us that some of the guards that morning, when the angelic beings showed up, the earth shook and they were so afraid they became like dead men and the stone was rolled away. And when they came to, the tomb was empty and they knew they had failed at their job. And so they went into the city, into Jerusalem, and they told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled, the chief priests and the elders, and they'd taken counsel, here's what they did. They gave sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears and the governor hears that you've failed in your job to protect the tomb, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and they did as they were directed. And as the story unfolded, it is told to many Jews in that time. There's a confused reaction, perplexed reaction, a cynical reaction. There's an investigative and curious reaction. And then there's the reaction of those who are threatened by Jesus. They just want the story to go away. They want to suppress the story. They don't want to hear about it anymore. They're willing to make up another narrative and pay money to have it done away with. I remember when the word narrative started getting more traction in our culture here. And it made me nervous because it's easy to make up a narrative that moves towards self-protection or self-gain. It's much harder to dig for the truth at any cost. And the disciples wanted the truth. Peter wanted the truth. The Pharisees just wanted the whole thing to go away. And then there's yet another reaction. I showed two individuals running when it said Peter ran to the tomb because John tells us he was with Peter at that time. John says this, "Peter went out with the other disciple, John, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together." So there were two curious gentlemen, two curious disciples. But John outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Peter came in and following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloths, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself somewhere else. A signal to John that Jesus was communicating a message to him, that he was done in that tomb, but he would come back to the world at some point. Then John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and it says, he saw and believed. believed. I don't know where you're at today, friend. Confused in your faith journey, perplexed. Maybe you're cynical. Maybe your heart has been hardened by what's happened to you in the world and the idea of a supernatural God working in the world today just seems ridiculous to you. Maybe you're curious. Maybe you're investigative. Maybe you're threatened by the whole thing and someone drug you here this morning. Whatever the case, I want you to know this. Jesus loves you right where you're at. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he looked over the city and it says he wept for the whole city. He wept for the chief priests. He wept for the Romans. He wept for the disciples because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he wanted to be their shepherd. He wanted to be their guide. He wanted to lead them. But in order for him to lead us, we have to believe in him. We have to acknowledge he's there. We have to trust what he says to us. We have to take him at his word. And I don't know who the first believer was. I think maybe it was the ladies on the way back, because Matthew tells us Jesus himself appeared to them, and all of a sudden they got it and they were excited when they got to the disciples. Or maybe it was John who was the first believer. He got there and he saw it. He says he believed at that moment. But one by one they started to all believe. And the believers started to expand in the world at that time. And the Holy Spirit of God was poured out on them after 40 days of appearing to them in person. The resurrected Christ ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. And he poured out his Spirit on the people. And then the church started to spread to the point where it spread from person to person, nation to nation, to the point where it came across here to the Americas. And we're celebrating here today because there are believers in the world today who believe this and who proclaim he is risen. He's alive and he's working in the world today. And if you're not a believer, friends, can I tell you, I'm not going to convince you to believe. I'm not going to convince you. But God might. He might cause you to come to the knowledge of his Son. This is what he's wanting in the world, for people to come to the knowledge of Jesus and who Jesus is, and then in coming to the understanding of him, find life in him. Paul wrote to young Timothy and said this, God desires all people to come to the knowledge of the truth about Jesus and to be saved through him. It's very simple to be saved. It's just hard to come to a belief in the supernatural, the unseen, the powerful work of God in that tomb. But Paul wrote to those in Rome and said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the Bible tells us salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which you and I can be saved. We're talking about something at Easter that, quite frankly, friends, is the most serious thing we'll talk about all year. And that is the salvation of human souls for all eternity. Because the Bible makes it clear this life is just a warm-up for the next. Everything that we experience here is a foretaste, either a foretaste of the glory to come or a foretaste of the pain and the suffering and the hurt and the heartache to come for those who don't know Jesus. Jesus said, if you don't know me and you don't walk with me, for all eternity there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what that means? There will be remorse and sorrow and deep regret to the point where you will gnash your teeth for all eternity. The claims of Christ and the resurrection of Christ is not just some incident in human history, friends. It is, according to the biblical revelation, the salvation of humanity made available by God through his plan in sending his Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life, but whoever rejects the Son does not receive this life and is separated from God for all eternity. It's not my opinion, I'm just teaching you the Bible. And the Bible simply says, those who have the Son have life, those who do not have the Son do not have life. Sure, you're biologically alive now, but when you die, what's going to happen? The Bible makes it clear, all of us will die. It's still 100% of us. It is appointed unto each person once to die and then to face the judgment. And who will be at the judgment? We will each stand there individually before Almighty God, and Jesus is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. And to him all the prophets bear witness. the entire history of God's work in the world, everyone he's anointed to speak on his behalf. All the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. Perhaps today the Holy Spirit, if you're cynical, confused, disbelieving, perhaps on this Easter Sunday morning, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead some 2,000 years ago is working in your heart and drawing you to faith in him. Can I just encourage you with this question? Why not open your heart to him? Why not open your heart to him today? He loves you with an everlasting love. He wants you in his eternal family forever. He died on Good Friday to pay the penalty for your sin, and he rose again to conquer death so you wouldn't have to live in spiritual separation, in eternal condemnation, in death and separation from God forever. But you could be in his family and experience the glorious riches of heaven forever. If you've never opened your heart to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity right now. As we spend a moment in prayer with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity to confess your sins before the Lord, confess your disbelief before the Lord. Invite him to come in and forgive your sin and adopt you into his eternal family. And those of us that know him, I guarantee you, we're praying for you. We are praying for you to come to the knowledge of his Son. Because if we have any of the heart of God in us, we want everyone to come to know the truth about Jesus and experience his forgiveness. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word that you gave us so that we might believe. Father, we can't conjure up belief ourselves. We can't come to faith on our own. I'm mindful of your word that says no one comes to the Father unless the Father first draws them. And then your word very clearly says, in the midst of all the world religions and everything around, it says very clearly, there's only one mediator between God and man, one who can bring peace between us and you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for sending him into this world, for his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, and for your display of great power in him by your Spirit in confirming who he was and who he is by his resurrection from the dead. And Father, perhaps there are some sitting here right now that you're drawing to yourself, and they would want to offer these words. It's not necessarily the specific words, but the condition of their heart. They would want to come before you and say, God Almighty, forgive me for my disbelief, my rebellions, and my sins against you. I am sorry for violating your laws and your ways, for mocking you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus and the blood that was shed. Would you please apply that blood by faith to my heart so that you would remember my sins no more and you would forgive me? And then, Father, by your grace, adopt me into your eternal family, that I could be one of your children forever and ever. Father, we thank you that you have always promised to answer this prayer with a resounding yes. And Father, for those of us that know you, help us sing gladly, help us sing joyfully about your work in redeeming us. Father, and if there's someone who's come to the knowledge of you for the first time, minister to them and encourage them and strengthen them and give them the courage to tell someone else that they've opened their heart to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
this is Andrew Nordstrom, Technical Director of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. Our primary goal is to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of the world and to promote the truth of God's Word. In addition to this weekly broadcast, we have three podcasts which you can listen to for free on our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, or on our free mobile app. The first podcast is a Bible overview devotion called the Daily Dose Devotions. The second podcast features inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. It's called the CC Podcast Conversations. Our newest podcast is Homer Larson Live, which features a powerful series of sermons from one of our former radio preachers recorded live over his five-decade ministry to his local church.
Today you've been listening to the broadcast transmission of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. We're one of America's longest-running radio ministries, on the air since 1936. We are completely donor-funded and donations are tax-deductible. They can be sent to 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or made online at ChristianCrusaders.org. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. We'll be here again next week at the same time, and until then, may God richly bless you.